Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on AM 1030. The Voice, I'm Steve Rivera, the host. We just spent an hour trying to dissect the men's basketball team from U of A. Now we're going to spend like an hour talking about local hockey, adult hockey, youth hockey. I have Danny Plantner here in, as well as Mr. Ryan Dijot, correct? Ryan, you're from Youngstown, Ohio.
That's right.
Football country.
That's right.
Why hockey?
Just something I grew up playing. There was an outdoor rink down the street from my house, and my father's from the Buffalo area, and we used to just go down the street and go skate outside for public skating, and then the youth hockey started when I was 4 or 5, and I've been playing hockey ever since.
Right, right. And Tucson, I remember working at the Citizen. I was there for 23 years. About 15, 16 years ago, stories were coming out of the paper and locally. Tucson local hockey was going to become a big deal. You're thinking, hockey in the desert here, that it's not pro? How is that going to happen? And it kind of happened. And now you've kind of taken it over and kind of is going in a nice direction?
Yes, we have just under 200 kids, 198 kids in the program spread out through all ages. There's a learn to skate program. We have teams at every level. Most of our players are under the age of 10, so they're all relatively new, mm-hmm. that have come in through programs through the NHL and with help from the Roadrunners and the U of A.
Cool. So the best thing to happen to you guys, Roadrunners coming into town?
Definitely. It extended the ice. It brought more profile to hockey in the town. And not only that, there's a program through the NHL called Little Howlers and it's spearheaded by the NHL it was $100, now it's $150. Kids get full equipment, 6 hours of ice, a couple of tickets to either the Coyotes or the Roadrunners, depending on where you live. And that's how new kids get started. And we've done that now for 3 years, and that's 50 kids, usually between 4 and 9 every year, mm-hmm. that are getting thrown in the program brand new.
Where do they play outside of the TCC? Is that probably the only place to play? I don't know. I'm being naive here.
That's it. That's the only
place
in town.
How do you find time to get in that spot when everything's going on there?
We work together with the TCC and with their management company and with the Roadrunners and with the U of A hockey team. Myself and Danny work very closely with the other groups in town, and we just sit down and divvy up the schedule to most benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm. And that's what? How many hours in a week?
My organization uses it roughly 12, 13 hours a week. Most of the time on Sundays, when there's nothing going on Sunday, mm-hmm. we have most of our youth hockey there, but we practice 6 hours during the week through Monday, 1 hour Monday and Wednesday, 2 hours on Tuesday and Thursday, mm-hmm. with our various teams split up in those sections.
And your teams, or some of your teams, are connected to the Roadrunners? Yes? How?
Well, we are the Junior Roadrunners.
Okay.
So we've branded ourselves as the Junior Roadrunners. They let us use their logo with Junior on it, and then we have a lot of things through the team. They provide some ice time for us. We have our kids go skate during some of the intermissions there. They have players come out to practice. We sell tickets in conjunction with them as a fundraiser for us, and we've been working with them since day one.
How has that helped you guys become better at what you guys do? I'm sure tremendously, because if that's the only spot, that's the only spot.
Well, when people go to the Roadrunners games and they see our little kids, mm-hmm. our kids that are younger than 8 skate after the first intermission, you have a lot of kids that are at the game with their parents and with their friends,
sure,
and they say, I want to play hockey. And so then they come find me, and then we get them started.
What's the number one thing? Let me tell you something. I don't like the cold, so let me kind of tell you as a young guy. I don't like the cold. There's no way I'm going to get on skates because I'm going to be falling down all the time. What's the biggest fear at that young age? Or I guess when you're young, you don't fear much.
Well, that's the good thing. So it's almost easier to teach kids when they start young, almost like a different language, because it's mm-hmm. something. Skating is completely different if you play soccer, if you play basketball, if you play baseball. You're still running and moving around like you do every single day. But when you learn how to skate, it is like learning a new language. You have to start from scratch. And when they're younger, they tend to not have a lot of fear. And if they're well padded and they fall a couple of times and it doesn't hurt, that fear kind of goes away. And then they start really learning how to do it.
Yeah, I fall one time, I'm done. I'll watch it with a beverage on the side.
Yeah, well, consider also, you know, you and I both had kids played sports mm-hmm. from a young age, mm-hmm. and one of the most exciting things for a kid is when they get their uniforms. And with hockey, not only do you have the uniform, but you have all the padding. So is a kid going out to play hockey for the first time to be able to put all the pads on? I mean, full, you know, from your helmet all the way down to your skates, you know, with shin pads, elbow pads, everything. That's just, they
cool.
love that. Yeah,
and you're much bigger than what you are because you're You're twice the size now.
And by the way, Steve, whatever size shoe you have, I do have a pair of skates for you. Ryan, also part of what they do have a learn to skate program for kids, but also adults participate. So it's never too late.
There's no way, because I know I would fall. I know I would get hurt.
So what? You got to fall.
I know I'd get cross-checked, gut-checked like the basketball team last night.
We have, for the adult league, we had a couple players sign up this year who had never played before, and I was really fearful they were going to get hurt. And one guy, he take two or three strides, fall down, two or three strides. And not only do I play and run the league, I'm also an official, so I'm out there as a referee. I kept skating over to the guy, saying, "Are you okay?" So yeah, by the end of the season, he actually was doing okay. He was able to, you know, make it from one end of the ice to the other. His teammates were all of his buddies, so they didn't really care as much. But but it's never too late to pick up the game of hockey.
So did he come back for a second year, or we don't know the
answer? Oh yeah, we just finished up our season, and we're actually getting ready to start up a spring league, and he already signed up. So yeah,
do you guys go round the year?
Well, getting back to your, and now we're talking adult. I know that we're kind of switching back and forth between the kids and the adult, but the adult league, and the kids for that matter, our typical season was from September through, say, the end of January, because the gem show comes in February. There's really no ice. Well, with the Roadrunners, their season continues into April.
Sure.
So last year we had finished up our season. We essentially have a 12-game season for the adults. And we were done. And this year, a couple of the guys in the league said to me, "Danny, look, we want to play in March and April." And I said, "Well, great. You guys can run it. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I mean, it's not my day job or Ryan's. You know, we do this strictly on the side." And so we've now put together a league for the spring. We've seen the calendar from the TCC, and there, and there's potentially enough ice for us to have six more games in you know, late February through April, depending on how far the Roadrunners and everybody, again, we set the expectation with our players that, hey, as long as the ice is available, we'll use it. But something changes, the Roadrunners make the playoffs, and there's a playoff game that night or there's another event, then we just kind of have to move our schedule around.
Right, right. And that's there's a need or a want for that. Up until what?
It's a very strong demand. I'll tell you this. We started with four teams back in 2007 when we first started the league. This year we had 16 teams.
Ages
18 to, we have a player turning 81 this year.
Really?
Yes, he'll be 81 in February.
Does he actually play?
He plays, and he fell down last year once and this year once, but he got right back up. And I have a couple other guys in their 70s. We have a lot of college students, and so we have two different divisions. We have an upper and a lower division. So the upper division, obviously the college kid, the 80-year-old and the guy who can barely skate, they're not playing with a 18-year-old kid from Denver or, you know, I mean. So the demand is there. We have a waiting list each year. We fill up immediately because we only allow the players to play on one team. So, you know, we want to make sure we give everybody a spot that wants it. So. Mm-hmm. If we were able to play year-round, we certainly would run leagues year-round, but the ice isn't available.
So through Ryan's program, I'm curious how many of the Tucsonans, the natives here, are skating and sticking around? As adults, yeah.
It's funny you mention that. There's a couple of kids. So we have a high school team in town, and these are kids, some of them, you know, came up through the ranks. Ryan can speak of that. And some maybe had moved here the last few years. And so a couple of them are now turning 18. They're seniors in high school. And they're out there playing pickup hockey with us. They're asking me about joining the league. I mean, you know, these kids want to continue to play once the high school season is over.
Yeah.
And so as far as adults that grew up in Tucson that are playing now, you know, we had a skating rink, we had a public rink, and a lot of the kids, from when I knew them, you know, 20 years ago, they were 10 years old, they're now 30, and they're playing in my league.
Yeah, because they had the link, or the rink at, on the east side.
Right. And it closed in 2007, so that was, you know, 12 years ago. So if somebody was a, you know, 15-year-old kid that was playing there 12 years ago, now they're 27 years old, and they're playing in my league. So there's quite a few of them.
Yeah, there's a rink that they built at the Doolin Middle School, you know,
the outdoor.
Are you able to use that, or is a facility to kind of just get out there and play?
That's operated by the Boys and Girls Club, and I know they do a lot of work during the day and during the week for different school kids, but I've been in contact with them. It's available to us on weekends if needed, but especially during the season, we're always using the TCC when it's available on the weekends, and then a lot of our teams go up to Phoenix and play, and are playing against those teams up there, against Flagstaff as well. Our teams have played El Paso and Vegas and possibly a tournament in Albuquerque this year, so we're definitely making the rounds.
So you go all over the place, at least in the Southwest, to kind of compete with other teams, and you use this place as a kind of practice ground, and you play there too, right? And
to right. TCC, yeah. Those teams come and play us too.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, cool. Good. The traveling is always good to go other places. And we'll talk about the facilities here and compared to those ones over there. Let's go to take a break, Bob, and come on the other side and talk more about hockey, local hockey.
Hey, Tucson. It's John and Cheryl Holcock with Coble Banker Residential Brokerage. We're here to emphasize the importance of using a real estate professional.
Lost in another time and dimension, where fantasy is reality, where the line between fact and fiction has been blurred, you've entered the FSBO Zone.
The FSBO Zone? Really, honey?
Yeah, for sale by owner.
I know what FSBO means, but John has a point. By using a real estate professional, you can avoid the heartaches caused by non-representation. So call 520-342-6586.
We now return control of your radio dial.
Oh, brother.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and we're talking to Danny Plattner of the Tucson Adult Hockey League here, and to Ryan DeJoe of the Youth Hockey League in town. You know, for a naive guy and a guy who's not really following hockey at any time because it's cold, but I'm sure it's cool, a lot of fun. You play, Danny, or are you just a ref?
Oh, yeah, no, I play. I play.
You play in the upper division? Which division?
I actually do both. We have minor exceptions to allow some players to play on two teams. I'm one of them because, I run the whole league. And I will tell you that I'm 52 years old. And I love playing hockey. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. My dad took me to a St. Louis Blues game when I was 5 years old, and I absolutely fell in love with the game. And I've wanted to play ever since. And I honestly can't get enough of it. I just want to be on the ice at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I play in the upper league. Do I belong there? Probably not. But the guys tolerate me, and it's okay. I get in there. I hang in there. And so go ahead.
Have you been hurt at all? Because let me tell you, that's kind of the association with hockey. It's probably a bad association from a guy who doesn't know any better. But, you know, when you see the highlights, they're skating fast, the puck's coming fast, and there's a lot of things going on. And then maybe not being good on skates, something would happen.
That's a very good question. So when they closed the ice rink down in 2007, my brother-in-law convinced me to play basketball. And if you see me, I'm, all 5'6" of me. I'm not exactly a basketball player. And I got injured more in the 2 years of playing basketball than I ever have in all the years of playing. Yeah, occasionally you get injured. Take a puck off your foot or something like that. But and on a side note, and I'm sure Mike Fader's listening, But he would always be assigned to guard me, and I would always be assigned to guard him. And so he actually became an all-star in that basketball league at the JCC because he had these really long arms, and he would be able to score baskets with me guarding him.
He wanted you to guard him.
He was begging, yeah. So now every time I see him, he still
no,
talks
no wonder
about
he's
that.
A, he's a part of the all-JCC basketball all-stars.
He is. I made him an all-star those 2 years in 2008 or whatever it was.
Maybe you'll call in and either confirm or deny that.
Yeah, but as far as injuries go, it's just same as any other sport. I mean, you know, you learn to
sure
what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I say, the adult hockey, you get hooked on it. I mean, adult kids, whatever age, but in our league, I have guys that say, okay, when are we going to be asking? When are we going to be able to play again? And it's great. It's uh-huh. exciting.
Tell me real quick about the high school team. It comes from not just one high school. It's a compilation.
It's all of our Tucson high school age hockey kids and two kids from Casa Grande. They put on the team as well.
Mm-hmm. How good?
Very good. We have, it was our first ever team, first year in the league, and we've had a lot of kids who've grown up playing with the program, and they've been playing games here and there, but they haven't been consistently playing hockey games growing up. But they finished second in the regular season in their division, and they have the playoffs next week. They have semifinals and finals in a single elimination format, so they win the next two games. They're the state champions for Division III.
So how many teams in Phoenix and beyond?
Flagstaff has, I think, two or three teams. The Phoenix teams, there's roughly, I would say, maybe 40 to 45 Phoenix teams throughout the four divisions they have.
Wow. And what division is Tucson in?
Division III.
And with Division IV being the top?
No, Division One. Division One, it goes Division I, II, III, and then there's a JV league for really beginners.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of these high schools in Phoenix have teams throughout the division, and that they're large enough high schools like Centennial High School, mm-hmm. Pinnacle High School, Notre Dame. They have teams at different age levels that are all comprised of the kids that go to high school there.
Mm-hmm. So chances of winning it all?
I think are very good. Our team is as good as any in the division we're in, and given that we just have to win two games to do it, we're all very excited about the opportunity to do mm-hmm. it. Both the coaches and the kids believe that they can do it, and we really hope they can.
You don't coach the team.
I do.
Oh, no wonder you're – okay, good. I was going to say you're speaking from this side, but I understand how enthusiastic you are. So there's a chance that you guys couldn't win at all.
Right. I'm one of the coaches on those teams. Being the hockey director, I coach on all of the teams here and there and help run practice. Uh-huh. I specifically have the 9 and 10-year-olds that I'm the head coach of.
Uh-huh. How much joy does that bring you with the younger kids?
It's immeasurable. Just because I remember being that young and playing and loving hockey more than anything. I played a lot of sports growing up. I'm from football country, played mm-hmm. football through high school, was better at baseball, played soccer, played basketball.
So
hockey was the best.
So at that age, are they already kind of already into hockey by that time? Because they start, what, at 6, 7? What is
it? We have kids that start even younger.
Really?
Learn to Skate has had kids that were under 2 when they started. We try and get them between when they're 4 and 5 to get started playing hockey and get started skating specifically more mm-hmm. than anything. Mm-hmm. When they're on the ice at that young of age, it's a huge advantage.
Right. That's cool. So how many kids in the program?
Just about 200.
200. You said 198. I think I was right. Yeah. Okay. So then now you're part of the Roadrunners and try to help your cause through them with tickets and things like that.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So we have tickets that we sell for every game. They come in the form of vouchers. So we sell $29 single game Roadrunner tickets for $17. Mm-hmm. And a portion of that comes back to us as the junior Roadrunners. So anyone who wants tickets, they can email me at TucsonIceHockey@gmail.com and say, hey, I want this number of tickets for this game. I work with the Roadrunners. They're able to email tickets, and then we take payment through the junior Roadrunners through either our PayPal account or I meet up with people at the game. We have square readers. I can take payment over the phone. So we do that for a lot of people. A lot of people in Danny's league call me for tickets. A lot of our parents call me for tickets. So we made it real easy this year to get these tickets out to people to be a fundraiser for us and to make sure that they get a good seat to the Roadrunners games at a discount price.
So it's a kind of a win-win situation where they can get discounted tickets. The Roadrunners get bodies in the seats and, you know, sell concessions and all that.
And I'll tell you, Steve, $17 for a professional sporting event,
mm-hmm.
and there's not a bad seat in the house, by the way. And these are good seats, but mm-hmm. there's not a bad seat in the house at the Tucson Arena. Anybody who has not gone to a Roadrunners game really, really needs to go. And it's a great opportunity, like Ryan said, to help out the program, but you get a discounted ticket. I know after last night's basketball game, we already talked about it. People are kind of down.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, everyone's kind of maybe not looking forward to the UCLA game because it might be possibly just as bad or worse. But in between that time, tonight at 7 p.m. and tomorrow at 3 p.m., there are two Roadrunners games. So if somebody wants to, I guess, bring up their spirit a little bit, I will personally guarantee a good time at the Roadrunners game.
And they're good. You know, having talked to Mr. Walt Ruff, they're, 23 and 11, something like that, off the top of my head, and doing really well. I think they're second in the division.
And third in the league.
And third in the league, yeah. So it's a good hockey, obviously just right below the Coyotes, but good hockey, a lot of fun, music and all that, right?
It's great. It's a great experience. They do a great game day experience. They really they do their best to, to attract fans, and mm-hmm. it's $17 to get in the door. I mean, what a great deal.
How many of your kids go to those games, maybe on a game-by-game basis?
A few. You'll see a lot of junior Roadrunner jerseys there.
Oh, yeah, okay. And they're probably, I know that they're fan-friendly in terms of how they accommodate their time with you guys. Yeah?
The Roadrunners,
yeah.
They're on the ice with the kids. Our adult games are after the kids. So the kids have practice, and then we show up afterwards on a given night.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I was there, I think I was there for a pickup game or something, and Jordan Gross and some of the other guys were on the ice with you.
That's right. And three times this year they've had players come out, and a lot of our families, too, they're season ticket holders. They do a lot of things for their season ticket members, and they do a lot of things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone out to the JCC. They've gone and done things with PACC Animal Shelter, so they're definitely out in the community trying to help out.
Right.
And I know I'm biased, but to me, hockey live is the best sport to go watch.
Yeah.
Television doesn't do it a lot of justice.
I hear that. I hear that a lot because it's so much. There's so much action, quick. There's some strategy to it. I wouldn't know it because you'd have to explain it to me. But but I've heard that a lot. I have relatives in Pittsburgh who go live and die by the Penguins, and they tell me that all the time. And I say, okay, I got to go to a basketball game here. Hold on.
Well, Steve, I'll tell you this: hockey fans are also great, very open, very warm, very welcoming. So if you, for example, or anybody who decided to go to the game that wasn't sure of the rule or anything going on, just turn around and ask the person sitting next to you because they will be happy to talk your ear off and explain the entire game to you. And that's just the nature of hockey, hockey fans and hockey people in general.
Sure. Are you surprised, Danny, that it's taken off to this extent because you've been here 20, 22 years or whatever in the desert, like I said before? Yes, no?
I'm not surprised. Number one, downtown is a great experience. My wife, who is, she enjoys basketball, football, mm-hmm. and the sports, the rest of them. She has become a diehard hockey fan because we get to go out and go downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And the Roadrunners, they do a great job of letting you, with your season tickets, if there's a Friday, Saturday game, and I have two tickets for each night, they'll say, oh, yeah, they'll switch two of them over to one of the nights. So I'll have four tickets for Saturday night game, and she and I will take some friends, and we'll go out for dinner downtown and mm-hmm. go to the hockey game, and she'll be able to drink a margarita and enjoy the game and just be with her friends. And so, as far as, again, she is a perfect example. She always, because of my love for hockey, she's tolerated it, but now she actually looks forward to going to the games.
Sure, sure. I had Mark Irving on the show maybe 3 weeks ago, I think it was, and he talked about how the downtown scene now has helped a lot of different things, and it's very true. I mean, who would have thought this 25 years ago, because the downtown scene was not what it is today. Obviously they've done a great job, the Rio Nuevo and them, who have brought, now they have the Sugar Skulls, they have the hockey, a lot of things to do, have dinner after game, before game.
Yeah, and parking is easy. If you don't want to drive all the way over to the arena and you want to eat downtown, find a spot on the street or one of the parking garages downtown. It's compared to most major cities or most cities at all in the United States, downtown parking, mm-hmm. if you have to pay $5 or $10, it's not much at all. But normally, I always find a spot on the street somewhere for free. We're able to eat, go to the game, and get out of there pretty seamlessly.
Right. No. I see that because they're downtown every now and again, and the parking is great. And it's not a far walk.
No, it's not
bad at all. From any place downtown.
5 minutes.
Right. Okay. Let's take a break here, Bob, and we'll come back with Ryan and Danny and talk more about hockey.
Come on and start.
Come on!
Don't let this happen to you. Extreme cold, just like extreme heat, can cause many problems with your car. Dead batteries, heater problems, even radiator problems. Bring your car into Breathe Easy Automotive, and we'll do a free inspection to make sure you're ready to go. Through January 31st, mention this ad and receive 20% off any repair. At Breathe Easy, our mechanics are not on commission, and we only do the work that you authorize. Check us out today at BreatheEasyAuto.com.
It's a new year, and you deserve a new career. Radio sales is the answer. We currently have account executive positions open here at The Voice. If you're motivated to get ahead and a self-starter, your future is in radio sales. We offer a guarantee against commission and benefits. Send your resume to careers@bustosmedia.com or call us for a confidential appointment at 790-2440. 790-2440.
My name is Sean Hoffine, your favorite peace-loving hippie with a pit bull, a ferret, and a love of life, liberty, and faith like few you've ever heard before. It's Blue Collar Radio from the heart. I will be live with you at 1 p.m. right here in the Perfection Auto Works studios at 1030 KVOI every single Sunday after America Armed and Free. We still believe here the fight for freedom is God's fight, and to fight for freedom is to fight alongside God. Pax Domini Tecum, thank you in advance for your valuable time.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and we're talking with Danny Plantner and Ryan DeJoe of the hockey, kind of the adult and youth hockey leagues down in Tucson. And I was kind of curious, you talked about the money, $150, I think it was, dollars. Is it for what type of kids do you have on the teams? Is it you know, high end kids who have parents who have money, low end kids with parents who don't have money?
It's both. I mean, we're the only game in town, so we have kids from all over, from all walks of life, and that's what we pride ourselves on more than anything else, is we keep hockey affordable. Ice time itself is very expensive. It's nearly $400 an hour. So everything we collect goes toward just getting enough over the hump to make sure our kids skate as much as possible. And our leagues, in comparison to what it's like in Phoenix, we are usually a quarter of what people pay in Phoenix to play in the leagues up there for the
kids.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
To what extreme does it get up there?
Usually any kind of travel team up in Phoenix, you're talking at least $5,000, and that doesn't count travel expenses to go to tournaments and things like that.
That's to be on a team?
On the team.
Holy moly.
So there's teams, we have travel teams in the leagues for 9 and 10-year-olds, 11 and 12-year-olds, 13 and 14-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And our most expensive team this year was around $1,500. And then there's teams that we play against in the league that are north of $6,000-$7,000.
Wow.
Playing the same league.
Wow. Who would have thought that? But I know it's the ice time is the biggest expense, probably.
By far.
Yeah. So you work with other people's schedules, like the runners and blah. Do they accommodate when you have certain special circumstances, or are you at their whim?
We fill in after they do. So the Roadrunners and the U of A hockey team have the first bite at the apple. Then after that, Danny, myself, and some of the other groups in town, like the figure skating group and some of the pickup groups, we then sit down and divvy up what's left.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you've been here 10 years, seen a lot of the kids get better. Do they end up playing for the U of A hockey team?
We haven't had any yet, but we have a couple that I believe definitely could play at that level within the next couple of years. And we've had a lot of kids, too, that have skated with us at some point that have gone on to other teams. They're still a little bit younger, but they'll play on teams in Phoenix. We have one kid who played with us a lot growing up. He plays on a very good team for 15- and 16-year-olds in Chicago. So we're definitely advancing in that front.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've had, Danny, some of your participants come through Ryan's program.
Yeah, and like I said, there's kids that have grown up here playing hockey, and now they're in their 30s, and so now they play with us.
But he's been around, what, 10 years, 14 years?
Right.
So, yeah, they started when they were younger. And then
right,
kind of
oh, yeah, we have a couple guys, some of the younger ones. So maybe they've, you know, They're in college now, and they're U of A students, and they, you know, they want to play in the adult league. Yeah. I have a handful of them.
Great. We have a call. Bert, are you on the line? Thanks for calling in. You have a question?
Yeah. Great show today, guys. Danny, so how do you sign up for the league if I'm interested?
Great question. We are typically we're sold out, but this year we've just added the spring league.
And how much? What's the cost?
Okay, so the spring league is an abbreviated. We're doing a little bit different. Typically, we charge $350 for 12 games total.
Mm-hmm.
Spring league, and then we collect a jersey deposit when you turn your jersey in, then we give you your money back at the end. The spring league, we're actually doing a little bit differently. We're going to charge for six games, so half of them. We're going to have a $200 fee. And you're going to get to keep your jersey. So one of the guys in the league, his name is Roger Haynes. He owns a company called Awards to Go, and he, you know, that's what he does. He does jerseys uniforms and stuff. He came up with a great idea of essentially selling a jersey, like kind of like a NASCAR shirt, and he's going to put different advertisers on it. And he's already got a bunch of people to sign up. And so at the end of the season, you're going to keep your jersey at the end of the spring season.
So cover the cost.
So, yeah. So $200, you know, the advertisers plus, you know. We're going to have an evaluation session, which we don't normally do. So to sign up, that's a very good question. Thanks for asking, because I want to also promote that as well. We have a website, TAHL, Tucson Adult Hockey League, TAHL, a new and improved website, .org, TAHL.org. Our registration link is up there now. We only have a limited amount of spots, and we probably have about maybe 20 or 30 spots left. And then once we're full, that's it. And there's a handful of guys out there who said, oh, yeah, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to play. But they haven't signed up yet. And so if they don't sign up and pay, then.
Tucson, as you were aware, probably, Danny, that it's a late-arriving crowd for everything. Same for you guys?
We've been running this league for 12 years. And the people that move here, it's funny you say that. The people that move here from out of state, and they contact us, and I say, well, either we're full or we'll take registrations on such and such a date. They sign up and pay that day.
Right away.
Yeah. The guys that have been around Tucson forever, it's like, oh, yeah, Danny, I'll sign up. And the longer they live here, there's a handful of guys that started out that way, and then the longer they've been here, they're like, okay, Danny, I'll sign up. And they always do. They always sign up and pay. And there's certain guys that I know will do it. And unfortunately, I know this isn't a political talk show, but there's a handful of guys in the league that are Border Patrol agents and guys that, you know, work for the government that aren't getting paid right now.
Uh-huh.
And so we are absolutely willing to work with them. And, you know, then when they have the money to pay, we'll give them an extension to pay at that
you
time.
Said, I should pay attention, but you said the spring league, that starts in March?
The plan is to start in March unless some ice opens up in February. You know, we're not expecting that to happen,
yeah.
But, you know, because the Gem Show has the arena. So we're going to have – our plan is to have the evaluations the last week of February. Normally, we've never had evaluations before, so that's a new thing as well. We just put guys on a team and say good luck to you.
Good luck. So, again, another naive question for me. You've been in the town for a while. You guys know people who know people. Is there a chance that maybe you get some more ice somewhere?
We're hoping. That's something.
Has there been talk?
There's been a lot of talk about an ice rink here from various groups, and we just hope at some point, at some place, it goes up because the community really needs it. The kids definitely need it. I have my practices are filled, and if anyone knows anything about hockey, having almost 80 kids, 8 and under, at a 200 by 100 confined space is difficult.
True.
And as they get older, I have the 9 and 10-year-olds are about 33 kids on half of a sheet. And the high school kids share with the 13 and 14-year-olds. There's about 50 of them that share the ice at one time. So we definitely need our own rink here again in Tucson so these programs can continue to grow.
Yeah. I wanted to thank Bert for calling in. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. Thanks for calling in for the good question, Bert. This is all news to me because, like I say, I'm not involved in hockey, but it's interesting, especially because your ties to the Roadrunners and their connection to Phoenix. I'm sure you guys go to Phoenix time to time to go see the Coyotes.
Rarely. I mean, I you know, it's expensive.
Yeah.
To go to an NHL game. I don't know, Ryan, what would be the cost? I think the last time I went, it was over $100 for a ticket.
With the Coyotes, it really depends on who you're there to go see. If you're going to see them play Nashville, you can go online and you can get a ticket for $10-15. But if they're playing Chicago, Buffalo, Detroit, Boston, New York, Pittsburgh, you're not going to get in the door for less than $50.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on who they're playing.
That's way up top.
And that's in Glendale.
And that's just the ticket.
That's just the ticket.
And again, but the seat, the $50 seat is up in the rafters.
Right.
Whereas again, I'll say the value of the quality of hockey. I mean, a lot of our guys from the Roadrunners have been playing in NHL, so you're getting the same caliber.
For that $50 ticket here, you can get three vouchers from you guys, right?
Absolutely.
Three tickets to get you into the game.
And you don't have to pay for parking. Find a spot on the street somewhere.
right, and drive. Not to dissuade them to go to see the Coyotes, but it's good hockey, obviously.
The Coyotes, it's still, I'll go to a couple games a year. I haven't been this year yet. I used to go a lot more before the Roadrunners. If you go up on a Saturday and make a day trip of it, if you go to Westgate early, walk around, you have tickets for the game. Mm-hmm. I remember I had relatives up. We went to a hockey game, stayed there, and then went to a Cardinals game that next Sunday. It's still a very good venue out there in Glendale, Westgate, and NHL hockey is NHL hockey. It's the best entertainment there is, but just like Danny said, for bang for the buck and convenience and still getting high end hockey, to me the AHL is the best value there is.
Right. You have an event coming here pretty soon too.
We do. We have our Junior Roadrunners golf outing coming up on February 9th out at San Pedro Golf Course in Benson, and it's only $50 per player, which if you've ever been in a golf tournament, it's usually a lot more, and it includes lunch. So that information's on our website, which is juniorroadrunners.com. So anyone can contact the website, and if they want to put a team together or just come play on their own for $50, you get a gift bag, you get 18 holes, you get lunch, and then there's auctioned items for anybody who's a hockey fan, and then other things as well that we have going on to benefit the Junior Roadrunners.
When is that again?
February 9th. It's around a 9 a.m. start. Once everybody gets there, we usually get started out at the San Pedro Golf Course.
Having been a dad in soccer, the kids come from Sierra Vista, they come from Southern Arizona to play up here to play better soccer, obviously. Do you have kids from other places besides Tucson that come from other places to play?
All Southern Arizona. So, I mean, we have kids from Sierra Vista. We have kids who've lived out in Sonoyta, who live out in Benson and Vail, all the way in Oro Valley and Marana and Sahuarita. They're coming from all over the area here. And we have some of our kids that they go to Phoenix for that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of our hockey kids have made teams and thrived on teams and played very well for teams up in Phoenix that go play more tournaments and play higher level hockey.
Sure. I'm sure you don't dissuade that either. When kids here get better, they want to play against better competition or whatever, and then go play somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the adults. We have quite a few members of our adult league that drive in from Benson, Sierra Vista, Green Valley, even farther south of that. So, I don't know. It's again, it's a sport that once you start playing, you can't let it go. You just fall in love.
So, from Danny, from your perspective on your teams and the adults, what's the percentage of locals to people who played somewhere else or are from somewhere else?
Moved in. Well, it's Tucson, so it's, you know, we're a transient
town.
So,
right.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be considered a local or not. Or Ryan's been here 10 years. Is he considered a local or not?
So
most hockey players that show up here have learned to play hockey from somewhere else. I would say that I have a team. Matter of fact, there's a big, huge inline hockey community, and there's a facility called the Tucson Indoor Sports Center at Grant and I-10.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us during the off season we play inline hockey because that's what's available. And I had convinced an entire team of the roller hockey guys to come out and join and play ice hockey. And they did. And they actually won. They won the lower division. They won the championship. Most of them had never been on the ice before. But because of their skill, being able to stick handle and puck, shoot and pass, that they did very well.
I was going to go right there. What makes a good hockey player? I mean, savvy, angles, smart, athletic. What's the ideal player?
All those things. Skating ability is the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the pros, it's the stick handling, the shooting is all very high level, but the way they skate really separates good players from great players.
Because, tell me, explain that to me. You can tell right away once a guy gets on the ice that he would be a good hockey player?
Somewhat. When you see someone who's a very good skater, like there's a guy who was playing for the Roadrunners not too long ago. He's been up with the Coyotes. His name's Connor Garland. He's a small guy, but his short burst speed, his edge work allows him to never slow down. And that's what has let him, as someone who's very undersized for professional sports, make it all the way to the Roadrunners and then on to the Coyotes, where he's having a very good season, just because of the way he generates power with his skating ability and the way he's able to move in and out of edges, move in and out of corners, get himself into spots to be successful because of the skating ability. And it really is its own separate skill. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a baseball player, it's run, it's hit for power, hit for accuracy, you know, ability to run. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the tools. For hockey, your number one tool is your skating ability.
Mm-hmm. And you have some of that in the adults?
As far as
you can kind of tell who's good and who's not by that?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, once they're at, comparing it to basketball, you know, you have that guy that's a good basketball player, but every time he gets the ball, he shoots, he's not going to pass.
Right.
We have the same problem in hockey. So, a quick, funny story. So last year, I had my upper division team, a bunch of college freshmen. They show up and about halfway through the first game, we're getting killed. And young kids, they look at me because I'm their parents' age, their coach's age. And they say, Danny, is it okay if we just try to skate up and try to score some goals? I said, well, yeah, this is adult league. So these are kids that were coached a certain way and they play a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so this year they're much better at skating up and trying to score as opposed to just playing within, you know, their system.
Sure.
So a lot of it's mental as well. I mean, you know, you have to be, you know, you got to be in the right frame of mind, but it's, you know, it's adult league hockey.
Yeah.
So
I might have to go and see how good they are and see how quickly I would get crushed.
I think we have some 80-year-old guys. As long as you can stand up on skates, and you have to learn what offsides is. So that's the biggest challenge because get upset if you don't, you know, tag up.
I want to be on the 81-year-old guys or against anyone else. We'll talk about that later. Hey, let's take a break for the final time. Come back and talk more about the local hockey.
My dreams were clogged. I was really in despair.
Got plumbing problems? Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Whether you have a leaky faucet, need a new water heater, or new plumbing construction, our qualified professional technicians can help you with your plumbing issues. Picture Rocks is family-owned and operated, and all our work is guaranteed. Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing today at 440-4069 or picturerockscooling.com.
Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing.
Hello, this is Kim Ward Morelos with Gospel Rescue Mission. We want to thank you for your generous financial and volunteer contributions this year. Your kindness provided over 62,000 nights of shelter and over 230,000 meals for hungry men, women, and children. You provided help and hope to our homeless and working poor neighbors. Here's some more good news. It's not too late to take advantage of the Arizona Tax Credit for the Working Poor. A donation to Gospel Rescue Mission made between now and April 15th may be taken for a dollar-for-dollar Arizona tax credit, up to $800 for filing jointly and up to $400 for singles. Consulting with your tax advisor is suggested. More information is available at grmtucson.com. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored.
Gospel Rescue Mission, there is something you can do.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
When you see a bicyclist, remember, cyclists are friends, neighbors, and family members. From the Tucson Police Department, here is Chief Chris Magnus with a life-saving message for all motorists.
Every year in and around Tucson, bicyclists are hit, injured, or killed. Arizona law requires that you must give at least 3 feet of clearance when you pass a cyclist. Safety is everyone's responsibility. A moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret. Give cyclists at least 3 feet when passing. It's the law. Brought to you by Look, Save a Life.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, the host, and we're talking with Danny Plantner of the Adult Hockey League and with Ryan DeJoe of the Youth Hockey League in Tucson. And I'm curious, you are part of this audience. I am not, obviously. So are there a lot of guys like you who think hockey, talk hockey, at any level, NHL, AHL, stuff like that?
Absolutely. A lot of people who came here randomly, like I did, to take a job, And I remember a guy bought the house that was next to me, and I looked over my yard, and he had a hockey shirt on. And, you know, we've been playing and coaching hockey and been friends ever since. So there's definitely all those people here. And then those people get their neighbors and their friends and their kids' friends involved in hockey, mm-hmm. and then they start to love hockey. And the parents go to Roadrunner games and Coyotes games, and then they get hooked on hockey. So it really is an experience unlike any other sports in that sense, in that even if you don't know anything about hockey, you go and watch hockey, and then you see it live, and people who have never been to Roadrunners games go, and the people that I've exposed to Roadrunners hockey, they go, and they're like, oh, my God, that was great. Mm-hmm. It's so fast, and they hit, and I'm still trying to follow the puck, but they had a really great time and a good experience.
So a guy like me who's seen a hockey game once or twice, how long would it take me to learn what's going on?
You're sitting next to me and Ryan, I don't know, 15
one
minutes.
One period. Yeah. I mean, we'll basically teach you all the basics that you'll see in one period.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool.
And by the way, we have a professional team in town. I mean, this is Tucson. We really got to work on our community to get them out there.
Yeah. No, and they're doing what, maybe two now. What's the attendance like? I should ask Walt this often, but it's a good attended game.
Yeah, it's hard to say because the Tucson arena is so limited on when it's available. A lot of times, like this week, they had four games. Mm-hmm. They had Monday afternoon, Wednesday evening, today, and tomorrow afternoon. And it's hard for people to go down to four games in one week. And so, again, they really accommodate the season ticket holders. So as far as – and then in the month of February, there's no home – there's a few towards the end, a few home games. But there's a couple-week period where there's no home games at all, so they have to come in clusters.
What did – and I asked this of Walt and some of the players a week or so ago. What did last year's success when they went into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, what did that mean for local hockey?
Well, everybody loves a winner.
Winner, sure, and that's the number one thing.
And going to playoff hockey, as intense as regular season games are, playoff hockey is a whole nother level. So fans got to see that. And if there's another playoff run this year, fans will get to see that too. We didn't have a Saturday night playoff game last year. That was something I wanted to see, because if you have a Saturday night playoff game at home, then you'll get everyone who's a season ticket holder and who's been going to games. And then you'll get other people in the community that those people know to say, hey, it's a playoff game. It's a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You know, come early, come downtown. We'll go to dinner. You don't have to scramble after work to get to a weeknight game. If we have a Saturday night playoff game, that building will be full and there'll be a lot more new Roadrunner fans after it.
I'm sure you guys went to the playoffs games.
Yeah. Yes.
So could you notice who were the regular playoff or regular viewers or attendees compared to the newbies who kind of went to be part of it?
Yes.
What was the obvious thing?
So the obvious thing is kind of their excitement level at different times than your normal hockey fan. Uh-huh. When a big goal or big hit, you'll see the whole crowd. But smaller things as well, where maybe a not seasoned fan will get excited about things that regular hockey fans kind of take for granted. That's the easiest way to tell.
And I insisted on bringing my brother-in-law, who is a huge basketball fan. I mean, he knows everything there is to know about basketball and has been his whole life. So it was the first playoff game. I said, well, you're coming to the hockey game with me. Work your schedule. He's got a younger son who's in playing competitive sports. He worked, you know, mm-hmm. got a lot going on. And I forget which night of the week it was. It was during the week, the first playoff game, the first home playoff game. And I said, whatever you need to do to rearrange your schedule, you're coming with me to the playoff game. He said, okay. And he came. He said, okay, now, you know, because basketball, hockey, it's where the home team, they wear white the first half of the season. And this is, I'm assuming Ryan knows better than I do, but it's a strange thing. Like, so we were wearing dark, and my brother-in-law was confused because he thought that the home team was the white team. We were wearing, I said, no, we're the dark team. And then he said, okay, well, who's our star players? And I kind of pointed him out. He goes, well, why aren't they starting? And in hockey, it's not like basketball. You're rolling, or you're switching your lines. Really, the top three lines are the most important. The fourth line doesn't, maybe Ryan could explain a little bit better when I say the top three lines. Mm-hmm. But you know, you don't need to be the star player to be in the starting lineup in hockey because they're switching in and out so often.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Maybe basketball should learn a few things from hockey.
Right.
True? Is it in terms of how they handle things?
Yes. So there's hockey terms. So your top six is important. Mm-hmm. When you're dissecting a hockey team, it's who's your top six? So your first two lines, your first left wing, center, right wing, your second left wing, mm-hmm. center, right wing. Those are the ones that are supposed to drive the play and put a lot of numbers up. Your third line is kind of a combination of that. You want guys who are fast but who try to make it more difficult on the other team, or who are put out there to try and limit the other team's best scorers. And then your fourth line, that's what's known as an energy line. That's a line that you want throwing the puck in, going hard after the defenseman, and making sure someone puts their body on another jersey every single shift and will defend their own net, if not have the talent to score on a consistent basis. Then when your defensemen are out there two at a time, you really have your top four on defense play most of the game. And so you have, most teams have a top pair that'll play almost half the game, but their top four will play usually 48 to 50 of the 60 minutes. You have a third pair to just spell the other two when they coach feels that they can put them out there at low risk situations or give the other two defensive pairs a spell.
Now you tell me all this. What's the ideal size of a hockey player? You talked about the kid who was very quick with his skates and all that. Smallish, 5'8"?
Not even. I would say he's probably 5'5", 5'6".
Okay, so very rare for that
guy.
Very rare. So what's the ideal size?
Most hockey players, and the game's changed over the last decade and a half. It used to be these guys were all 6'2", 6'3", 225, 230. They were really big, mm-hmm. really big in the upper body, and you can tell. It's transitioned more to a speed and skill game. So you have guys that are 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot that are maybe 185, 205 that are thriving, but still hockey player typical size. Defensemen are a little bit bigger, 6'2", 6'3", but usually between 5'10", 6'3".
Before we leave, we have about a minute and a half. How can people get a hold of each of you if they want to join, go see, or things like that?
Okay, so it's easy to remember my website, and there's a link that brings you to the youth website. My website, the adults, tahl.org, Tucson Adult Hockey League.
You just go to Google.
Google us. Google adult hockey in Tucson or youth hockey in Tucson. We're both have a strong presence on Facebook. So again, if you put in Tucson Hockey in your search in Facebook, you will find either or both of our groups, and we post a lot. There's a lot of pictures, a lot of information. But as far as contacting Ryan directly for the hockey tickets or for the golf tournament, you can certainly go through our website.
It's juniorroadrunners.com, and then we have an email address of tucsonicehockey@gmail.com that comes directly to me. There's a number as well on our website. It's 333-6970. It rings my phone directly. I'm more than happy to give people information that call and email.
Great to know, guys. I'm going to put this on the replay of this on the allsportstucson.com, our website that we have, and put it on my Facebook. So if they want to listen again, find out more information, just go there.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Hey, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
You might have a new fan in this 50-something-year-old guy. I'll probably have to go and watch a hockey game with you guys, too.
Definitely.
Thanks for the week, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks a bunch.